Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. It's that time of year where we're all in the giving spirit, and hopefully our hearts are all filled with gratitude. Don't forget our men and women in uniform during the holiday season. When you end up gathering with your family, why don't you take a moment to think about those who can't be home for Christmas because they're in every corner of the globe serving our country. The veterans we hear from on Hometown Heroes all had to spend holidays away from their families during World War II, and they sure don't take it for granted now. When we come to the end of the year, I always look back at the incredible men and women I've been privileged to meet and putting this show together. A year can go by in a real hurry, but with every passing week, no matter where I end up in these United States, I'm even more convinced that there really are heroes in our midst, and their stories can be so powerful for us to understand and reflect on. Before I forget, I want to thank Gator Gaynor. He's the program director at one of the many fine radio stations that Hometown Heroes airs on each weekend. That's KYKN 1430 in Salem, Oregon. He told me you've got to get out to the DRV, the Dallas Retirement Village, and meet some of the amazing veterans there. And he was right. We've been hearing from one of them today. Mel Christie has been in Oregon with his wife Mary Jo for the last 17 years. He's originally from Iowa. But during World War II, he battled German forces in Italy with the 10th Mountain Division. He mentioned that final engagement at Lake Garda, where they had to make an amphibious assault, and I have some photos and information related to that linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. That was a pretty unique situation. But let's get back to Mel and his journey now.
Well, and you made reference earlier to how things worked out for you after the war. You expressed your gratitude for the GI Bill. So what did you get a degree in and where?
Well, I went to a small church-related college down in Kansas, McPherson College, to be exact, and I got a bachelor's degree in industrial arts education, a tried teaching school. I was not suited for teaching. I went into industry, worked in the building industry for a while. I specialized in electricity and heating and air conditioning, and I was fortunate after several years to be hired by an international corporation that manufactures heating and air conditioning equipment, and had a very satisfactory career and a very happy retirement.
Well, and you said something a moment ago. You said that you believe there is a divine design or a plan for your life. So if you really believe that, I'm guessing that there's still something else that you're striving for. What keeps you going now? What plans do you think lie ahead for you?
Well, right now I have the responsibility. My wife and I have been married for 67 years. Unfortunately, she has gotten to the place where she can no longer walk, so I am more or less her caregiver now. So my main responsibility now is to see that she's taken care of and comfortable and meet her needs. I don't have many other aspirations except to live to be 100 and establish some kind of a record.
What are you going to do to celebrate when you reach 100?
Well, probably take a nap.
Just not a permanent one.
Oh, my wife and I kid now about our routine here at Dallas Retirement Village. We eat, and then we take a nap, and then we try to get a little exercise, and then we eat again. And that's pretty much our daily routine now.
Something else I'm curious about. Have you had a chance to visit the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.?
Yes. I was very fortunate. As soon as we moved here and DRV found out I was a veteran, they were sponsoring these honor flights to Washington, D.C., and I was very fortunate to be included in a group of three of us that went to Washington, D.C. on the honor flight, yes.
What did you think of that memorial when you saw all those gold stars there representing 406,000 Americans who died, so many of them from your division? What did you think?
It's very sobering, of course. It is a beautiful memorial, but I'm humbled to think that that many lives were spent making that possible. I'm constantly concerned about how can we keep from sending our young people to make that sacrifice, because we have many young men and women now in dangerous way. As we watch the news each day, it just doesn't sound good. And unfortunately, I don't know what the answers are. We apparently have people that just don't care for us, and they want to harm us. And we don't want that to happen, but diplomacy maybe is the answer to it.
With regard to that honor flight, I mean, the World War II Memorial is the destination, and it's the place that is the motivation to get you all you guys there, since it wasn't built till 2004. But that experience is a lot more than a little time at the World War II Memorial. What were the highlights of that journey for you?
Well, to visit, we visited more things, of course, in Washington, D.C., besides the memorial. But each branch of service has their own memorial in Washington, D.C., and to be able to visit all those was an interesting experience. And when you stop to reflect on what all was involved in World War II and how many people's lives were involved, it's just mind-boggling. But there's many beautiful things in Washington, D.C. I'm sometimes concerned about our leadership, both in Congress and in all branches of the federal government, that hopefully we can get good people in those positions that will represent us properly. And of course, it emphasizes our responsibility to vote in our elections and try to see that the right people get in, because if we don't, we will live with the results, whether we like it or not. It is true that a minority opinion can elect our leaders.
Well, and you fought for our right to vote, and many people died for it. So that does put it in perspective. I guess one more thing on the honor flight. I know that there are a lot of planned activities in all the destinations, the different memorials you go to. Were there any unplanned moments that got your attention, that spontaneous interactions with people that made you feel like you did something worthwhile?
Well, nothing that I can think of, except we were very warmly received every place we went. We had a very interesting experience in Chicago. We changed planes in Chicago, and I was surprised that I got off of one plane and started walking down through the airport. I was walking through a column of sailors on both sides, standing at attention. And what had happened? You know, Great Lakes Naval Training Station is in Chicago. And a large contingent of those young men and women had been at Chicago O'Hare traveling someplace. And they heard about our group coming through, and they stood at attention and welcomed us. I have a picture of me walking down through this column of all these young sailors standing at attention. So we were welcomed like that every place we went. And when we arrived back in Portland, every place we went through an airport, people were stopping and cheering us. So we were honored at all points during that trip.
Well, they were all trying to say something that I'd like to say, which is thank you for serving our country, and thank you for going there with us and telling us some of those stories that you haven't shared so much over the years. There's one more thing I want to ask you, because you made a point of how your mother suffered while you were overseas, the anxiety that she dealt with, and that it was her prayers that you feel got you through. So I've got to ask you about that moment when you made it back to Iowa and you got to see her again. Can you tell us about that?
Obviously, it was a very happy time to, well, back then, of course, we traveled by train, to get off the train and be welcomed by family. Of course, at that time, I was wearing my, you know what a ruptured duck is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wearing that little patch on my uniform, knowing that this was over with now, and I could relax and enjoy my family. You know, one thing a serviceman has trouble with when he comes home from the service and sits down at the family table, we have to be a little careful about our vocabulary. You can't say past the butter, you know. You have to stop and think, now what's the right word for butter? Yeah. No, really. Transferring back to civilian life takes a little bit of doing. Of course, I was fortunate. I did not have a girlfriend when I went off to war. So many of the guys were actually married. And some of them had children. And of course, girlfriends. A lot of them received Dear John letters. So I never had anybody like that. I had a pretty easy time of it in the service as far as personal relationships.
Well, and getting back to the plan, I guess there was a plan for you to meet somebody else that you've been married to for 67 years now.
Well, when I went to off to college, of course, at that age, I met a young lady in school. We've gotten along very well. Let's see, it'll be 68 years in May. If I can make it around the corner.
What's the secret? What's the key to a marriage that lasts for 67 years?
Oh, you have to always be considerate of other people, and considerate of other people's needs and wants and desires. You don't dare to be selfish. If you're going to be married happily, you have to be willing to give and take. But it's been a very peaceful time for us. We get along very well.
Kind of sounds like you're saying your solution for marriage is the same as your solution for war, diplomacy, huh?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I imagine I'm not the only one listening who can take that advice to heart, especially during this holiday season. Mel Christie, 91 years old, of Dallas, Oregon. Don't forget to check out the photos on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page or at hometownheroesradio.com, including the one Mel mentioned of the sailors saluting him while he was on his honor flight. And speaking of that trip, Mel carried with him a Purple Heart. It wasn't his, but it belonged to a fellow veteran who didn't live long enough to see the National World War II Memorial. That man's daughter asked Mel to take it to Washington in honor of her father. I'm sure you can imagine how much that meant to her. And after hearing Mel's heart over the last hour, you know it was incredibly meaningful for him, too. This was a pretty philosophical conversation today, wasn't it? I don't know about you, but I feel like I hear something new every time, and that's why it's such a great privilege to bring you these hometown heroes and their stories, and remind you again in closing that freedom is not free.